talked to Dayton this morning. He's feeling better. We'll see what he can do on the field tomorrow. That's why we put him at questionable. He was unable to go yesterday, obviously.
But you definitely feel like if you were practicing today, he would have been able to do something.
I would hope if we were practicing today, he would have been out there in some form or fashion. He's very optimistic. He's doing everything he can. We'll see tomorrow.
With a younger guy like that, I mean, he's an optimistic guy all the time. I guess how do you juggle what he says to what the training staff says and try to weigh all that?
Well, that's why you're taking all the information. You have to get to know your players from that perspective, and you really rely a lot on the medical staff because, frankly, the conversations that I have with them one-on-one are sometimes they're almost useless. I've never been told that I can't play. They all are going to play. They want to go, and I get that. Based on my conversations with every injured player at this stage of an injury, we'd be at 100% participation based on what they've told me.
But that does change as they get older. Was it Matthews a while back, a couple weeks ago? You had history with the guy.
I'm talking more about the younger players. You begin your question was he's a younger player. I mean, you're older. The veterans, have a little better understanding of their body, what they can do. The younger guys are just, they want to play. They want to do everything they can to get out there. And sometimes they're just not totally in tune with their body.
Mike, last year you had the Team 93. What is 94 Alpha?
It's really something that, it's for our locker room. I think obviously the 94 is in tune with our history and tradition. This is the 94th team in the history of the Green Bay Packers.
The science just came up this week, though.
Say again?
The science just sharpened a lot this week.
They've been there. They've been there since training camp. You have been in the locker room? Or?
I didn't notice it before this week either. But
oh, really?
You had it on that exit.
Well, they move around a little bit. This is a moving environment. Our culture is always growing and moving, and sometimes signs are not where they're supposed to be.
So you're not going to tell us what the alpha part is? That's not like
we don't have time for that. I mean, I gave a great speech. It was awesome. I had a lot of particulars in there, but it's for our locker room. 94 alpha. That's our theme for the year.
But it's something that you used in your opening training camp speech.
Correct. That was our theme. It's been our theme for this season.
Can you correct me if I'm wrong, and I know you will. Nick Perry, it seems to me that both times in the last 2 years where it seemed like he was kind of at a place where he was really going to start building on stacking successes, he got hurt. He had the good game in Indianapolis, mm-hmm. and then he had the surgery on his wrist. Last year he has that sack fumble play against Baltimore, and the guy falls on his foot. He had two sacks the other night. I mean, is he in a position where maybe you can see him now starting to really get to where you want to see him, or am I wrong?
Yeah, Nick Perry's a good football player. I mean, when you look at production based on play time, just the snaps, I mean, he's a productive player and has been, but, he's had injury situations. So, hopefully this is the year that he jumps over that hurdle. I mean, he's doing a lot of extra things, and I think going back to, Bill's question earlier, I got younger players that go through injuries, and you learn to play through different things and learn more about your body. I mean, this is a very difficult profession, what these guys do each and every day. But Nick Perry, to me, has always been a tough, productive, strong, physical football player.
What do you think Kevin Dorsey is for helping you on offense
this week? I have a lot of confidence in Kevin Dorsey. If he needs to play on offense, we'll put him right in there and cut him loose. He's a young man that's earned this opportunity, and frankly, coming out of training camp, I could have easily seen him on the 53. I'm excited for him to get an opportunity this week in Miami.
Mike, what did you think of the production you got with Eddie and James last week, and does that make you more inclined to kind of keep those reps sort of worked out as you did?
Well, I mean, offensively, our reps are not, we're not where we want to be. I mean, there's really no balance of, if you want to project 1,000, 1,100 snaps for your offense this year, you know, based on, you know, percentage of how many times you would like a guy to touch the ball or how much you want a guy to play. I mean, our first five games are distorted. I mean, we've had a number of 50-play games, you know. So so with that, the running back opportunities have been limited. I'm hoping to obviously feature Eddie. You know, get Eddie his touches. He's one of our best players. It's important for him to touch the football. He's a three-down player that, you know, we felt that is an improvement from last year. James is a three-down player, so we definitely want to roll those guys in. It's a long year. It's a demanding position, and we have confidence in both those guys.
Mike, is that a frustration? It's probably the wrong word, but an issue for you that, you know, you really wanted to get to those 75 plays a game last year. I think you averaged 67.
I'll take the 80 points, though.
Yeah, is that what I was trying to get at, is that I know you'd like to have those plays, but at least you're being – efficient, I guess, with the place that
you're playing. I mean, we have goals. I mean, we train. Anytime you put together a plan and how you're going to train your team and what you're trying to get to, you have to put goals out there. So how fast do you huddle up at the line, the ball snap, those are all part of a regiment that, you know, at the end of the day, you got to have something to judge it by. You have to have a standard. So I think we averaged, 70 plays last year. So we felt that if we can play faster and do some things better, that we can increase, you know, five plays a game. So that's another 80 plays to a season. So that's really what that number is. I don't sit there and when I get the call sheet or the statistics come out at the game and I go, gosh, we get 75 plays. That's not, you know, to me, that's at the end of the rainbow. You know, when the season's over, you hope to average that out. But, you know, we're obviously on a different path for the last couple of games. We're scoring a bunch of points and a limited number of plays. So we know what we need to do better to increase, you know, our production as far as attaining more plays. And it's really, you know, third downs and actually, frankly, doing better on first down has been our issue. So those are the things we're concentrating on. I mean, our big play production, which you have to have big plays in this league. Winning in this league is about big play production. Now, we're doing a good job of that, but we got to get more efficient. We need more 7-plus drives is our focus.
I know you had confidence in Lindsley from the minute he had to go in and the next man up and everything else, but considering what he was thrown into, where JC had gotten all the reps leading up to when he got hurt, has he – pleasantly surprised you at how he's handled everything, or has it just been, this is what we expect and you've done what we expected you to do?
Well, I think when you get into forecasting and projecting and hypotheticals, you're obviously open to error. But I'll say this, I think from a confidence standpoint, in Corey, no one ever wavered because what you're able to see him do every day in training camp. You know, he's one of those guys. As a rookie that came in here and you knew right away he belonged. First day of pads, it's like, hey man, this guy's he's a powerful young man, so he fit right in. So that's why I was never worried about him because mentally he's very sharp, very detailed. You know, played in a big time program, so he hit a lot of things going for him. And I will say this, I mean, if things keep going the way they're going. I think we'll look back on this start as probably one of the most impressive situations that a young player has stepped up and performed in my time here, and we've had a lot of young guys step up.
You've actually bought Bostic a bunch of times. I guess I'll ask it again this week. What's holding Brandon back from getting
over? Well, I don't think it's as much as what's holding Brandon back. I think you have to look at you're talking about offense, right? Offensively, Richard's doing some good things. I think Andrew Quirless, frankly, I played one of his better games last week. So I think those guys are doing a very good job of getting better, blocking on the line of scrimmage. That was an emphasis for us as a tight end group this week. You know, our we call it T-slips, our combination blocks at the tackles last week were definitely an improvement over early in the season. So it's really more of a product of Andrew and Richard performing. So. Brandon's playing on special teams, but he's working to get some time on the field, and I won't be surprised if those opportunities came Sunday.